The New Testament reading for this day comes from the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 25 through 27. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Let us listen now for God's word for us this morning. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O holy God, open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear your word for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, and may we be encouraged in our faith. Amen. God's faithfulness is truly remarkable. During Lent, we talked often about wilderness and journeying to the cross and the self-sacrificing love of God we find in Christ Jesus. But do we ever just take the time to stand in utter bewilderment at the faithfulness of God? Time and time again, God approaches God's people with love and grace, offering all the fullness of life that comes with being in relationship with God. Abraham and Sarah become the parents of many nations. The family of Noah takes refuge in a boat of their own making, and after the waters of the flood recede, they receive a dove and the arching streak of colors across a bright blue sky, a promise that the creation-ending wrath of God has subsided forever. Moses and the Hebrew slaves are liberated from oppression, as Jeremiah tells us, and the generation that follows crosses the Jordan into the land that God has promised them. To David and his family, God gives an eternal throne, a divine anointing that cannot be undone by the powers of the world, even as empires rise and fall. God gives and gives and gives, and the people of God take, promising to live up to the expectations expressed by God, and yet always finding old and new ways to turn away from God. It's as though God has her hand on the car door, and we keep pressing the lock button as soon as God goes to open it. And though we know the stories of God's power and God's anger, as soon as God reaches out again, there we are to press that button, leaving God to question why she even tries. We just can't help ourselves sometimes. And yet there is God, always ready to extend that invitation once more. As we enter into the text this morning, we join the southern kingdom of Judah on the brink of ruin. By the time we make it to the 31st chapter, the first deportation to Babylon has already occurred, and the writing is on the wall. The prophet Jeremiah has issued warnings that both Judah and Jerusalem will soon fall, the consequence of failing to live by the law of Moses, and in keeping with similar events described in other books of the Old Testament. The prophet understands the fall of Jerusalem and the subsequent exile of God's people as justified and corrective action, willed by God to bring God's people back into right living. You see, covenants have consequences if you do not do what you say you're going to do. Though this community is only a few decades removed from the reforms of King Josiah, who looked to right the ship through laws grounded in repentance and obedience to God, they just couldn't help themselves. They began to dabble with other gods again. A confession brought to us through a little wordplay here by Jeremiah. A covenant they broke, he says, though I was their husband, says the Lord. In Hebrew, the word translated husband, Baal, is indistinguishable out of context from the name of a Canaanite god, Baal, who previous generations had also strayed to, and as Jeremiah infers here, is who some of the people of God and the people of Judah are worshiping again. God's faithfulness to the people of God seems to be only matched by the capacity of God's people to be unfaithful to God. There's an episode of Seinfeld in which the main character and namesake for the show, Jerry, is going to pick up a rental car. Upon pulling up his reservation, the agent behind the counter informs him that they don't have any more cars. Jerry, astounded by what is occurring, makes the humorous observation that the point of making the reservation is so that the car would be there when he comes to pick it up. The rental car agent quips, "I think I know why we have reservations." And Jerry quickly responds by saying, "I don't think you do. You see, you know how to take the reservation, you just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take them." Perhaps the people of God are just good at making covenants, not living them out. This is a criticism that has followed the church and remains particularly pertinent even today. We are all talk and no action, all words and no walk, liturgically confident and evangelically feckless. We say that we are Christians, but you could never guess from the way we act Monday through Saturday. We like the idea of being in relationship with God, and yet we live lives of spiritual moderation, just enough to pass our own perceived expectations, but not too much to bring about true transformation, the kind that confronts the rich man who goes home weeping, the kind we dare to say we are journeying to meet at the cross. Yet God is faithful. Even in the midst of the chaos and the conflict, the imminent conquest from an adversary they cannot defeat, Jeremiah describes the hope of reconciliation seeded by God's faithfulness. "The days are surely coming," says the Lord, "when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another and say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the shape of the new covenant, marked by forgiveness and action. Gone are the stone tablets and great temples. Gone are the scrolls of Scripture and the ones who train to interpret them. Gone are the objects and the architecture that objectively embody the faithfulness of the community. No, gone are all those things. And in their place are the hearts of the people of God. Not hearts as we regard them now, as these abstract stand-ins for our emotional epicenters, but rather as the center of intent and will in each person, dedicated and obedient to God's love and will, which bids us to love God and ourselves and our neighbors, the latter two in equal measure. No more can the faithful point to a book or a building, because there will be no need for that. The deeds of the people will reveal the love of God, and the word will be known in every step we take in solidarity with our neighbors, in every hand reaching down to help the one who has been beaten and robbed. In each second, our eyes meet the eyes of another of God's beloved children, filled with care and concern and unconditional love. In the coming weeks, there will be increased opportunities for each of us to discern how we might live out our covenantal relationship with God. I can think of no better time than Lent to ask ourselves what we might do to live out our faith in response to all that God has and will continue to do for us. In the coming days, a time and skills inventory will be made available on the website for you to take to identify the gifts that you might have to offer as we continue to build the ministries of this church. Also available will be a complete resource listing all the opportunities to live out your faith as a part of this community of believers. I hope you will take the time to really ask if God is calling you to a particular opportunity, or how you might become more engaged with opportunities to serve and love your neighbors, both in this community and beyond our walls. Can we let go of the sins which God has already forgiven in order to make space for new opportunities to live into the expectation our faith encourages and God makes us capable of? Can we be faithful people? God thinks so. And that's why God keeps asking, keeps calling, keeps encouraging, keeps empowering, keeps liberating, and keeps sustaining us. It is why Jesus goes to the cross with such confidence, knowing, as we heard in John this morning, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. The days are surely coming, says the Lord. It may not be easy to believe. This past week, we celebrated the 1-year anniversary of our own exile of sorts. The gun violence in Chicago and the racially motivated killings in Atlanta are yet more reminders of what seems like a world in a downward spiral. Even as more and more people are vaccinated and we return to the spaces and activities that were once familiar, the shadows of division and violence and hateful rhetoric feed our disbelief. And yet we hear proclaimed, the days are surely coming, says the Lord. God has not given up on us. And if we can live into that, we might just be amazed at how faithful we might live. May it be so for all of us. Amen.